Good afternoon, everyone. The Committee on Banking and Insurance will come to order. Ms. Green will please call the roll.
Chair Beniquisto?
Here.
Senator Richter?
Here.
Senator Clemens? Senator Dietert? Senator Huckel? Senator Lee? Senator Margolis? Senator Monford?
Here.
Senator Negron?
Here.
Senator Simmons?
Here.
Senator Smith? Quorum present.
Thank you. And members will turn to tab 3, which is Senate Bill 626 by President Gates. President Gates, you're recognized to present your bill.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, for hearing this bill. This bill provides greater consumer protection for service members and their dependents in dealing with consumer finance loans, payday loans, title loans, overdrafts, and credit cards. Sadly, Madam Chair, predatory lenders have begun to focus on young enlisted military members and their spouses, especially when one spouse is deployed and the other is left at home here in Florida. And so credit cards and short-term loans are often marketed by these lenders as a quick way for military families to get ready cash. But unfortunately, the loans carry interest rates of 150%, 200%, up to 501%, and charge prepayment penalties if these service members want to try to get rid of these high interest loans faster. Military members, as members of this committee know, are required by the uniformed services to pay their debts and support their families. So when these extraordinary interest payments come due, then there turns out to be another spiral of increased borrowing sometimes. And military personnel who've been victimized, according to the Department of Defense, find their duty status, potential promotions, and even their continuing military careers in jeopardy. And so this bill tracks the Federal Military Lending Act by capping these credit transactions at 36% interest and requires oral and written disclosures about the terms of the transactions, and the bill as well would prohibit prepayment penalties. The bill's been developed in conjunction with the Office of Financial Regulation. I may say, Madam Chair, that I've taken counsel with President Pro Tem Richter, who has a great deal of experience both on financial transaction side and the military side. He's giving me some advice, and so consequently this bill may have some improvements as we move through the process. Today there is one amendment, ma'am.
Thank you for that explanation. Do we have questions? We do have that one amendment, and that is amendment barcode 180360, which was timely filed as a courtesy by Senator Negron. To explain the amendment, President Gates.
I believe it is a courtesy amendment, and I thank Senator Negron. The amendment provides that the Office of Financial Regulation may investigate if they believe that a lender is in violation of this act. And if the entity or the lender is found to be in violation, then the amendment would grant authority to the Office of Insurance of Financial Regulation to issue a cease and desist order, to file an injunction, or impose administrative fines. These are standard enforcement measures already in practice by OFR.
Thank you. Do we have any questions on the amendment? Seeing no question, we have no public comment cards on the amendment. Debate? Seeing no. For a question?
Well, under debate.
Oh, you're recognized in a debate, Senator Dieter.
Okay. I certainly support what Senator Gates is trying to do. We've had predators in this category previously that we have run out of the state of Florida, like the title loan people. I mean, they were charging exorbitant, beyond the usury law interest rates, and you had collateral of your vehicle. So this is a fine line to walk, and I'm glad to hear you're working with Senator Richter on it, because these folks do need some kind of financial avenue to explore without being taken advantage of, and they do set up offices near military bases for just that reason, so they're the prey, and they deserve our protection. So, good bill.
Thank you, ma'am.
God bless you. We have no additional debate on the amendment, so without objection, show amendment barcode 180360 adopted. We're back on the bill as amended. Do we have questions on the bill as amended? We do have Alice Vickers on behalf of the Florida Alliance for Consumer Protection waves in support of the bill. Thank you for being here. Do we have debate on the bill as amended? Seeing no debate on the bill as amended, you're recognized to close.
Wave close, ma'am.
Thank you. Ms. Green will call the roll on Senate Bill SB 626. Would you like a committee substitute?
Yes, ma'am, with your pleasure.
Yes, sir.
Senator Clemens?
Yes.
Senator Dietert?
Yes.
Senator Huckel? Senator Lee? Senator Margolis? Yes. Senator Montford?
Yes.
Senator Negron?
Yes.
Senator Simmons?
Yes.
Senator Smith? Senator Richter?
Yes.
Chair Beniquisto?
Yes. By your vote, show the bill reported favorably.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you,
ma'am. You're welcome. We'll go now, members, to tab one, which is Senate Bill 548 by Senator Richter. Vice Chair Richter, President Pro Tem Richter.
Yeah. Garrett Richter. Here we go. Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 548 addresses title insurance and the limits of risk. It provides for an increase in title insurance capacity, which is necessary in the commercial real estate market in Florida. Currently, it provides a 50% limitation of surplus of the company, the title company's surplus. This would increase that limit in order to make Florida more competitive. There are 21 states, larger states similar to ourselves, like New York and Pennsylvania, that have these higher limits. It's strictly smaller states that don't. And this bill would address that antiquated statute.
Thank you for that explanation. Do we have questions? We do have an amendment, which is Amendment Barcode 629580 by Senator Richter. You're recognized to explain.
Thank you very much. This is a technical amendment. It addresses a concern that the OIR raised to clarify that reinsurance obtained by title insurers must comply with the existing reinsurance requirements that apply to all lines of insurance.
Thank you. Do we have questions on that amendment? We do have speaker cards on the amendment. Beth Vitroli, on behalf of Stewart Title Guarantee Company. Thank you. Margaret Redman, First American Title Insurance Company. Thank you. Douglas Meng, First American Title. Thank you, sir. And then Caitlin Murray.
Yeah, I tried to get them to sit in different areas of the room, so we really had a thing. But
you have group support, I see. Caitlin Murray on behalf of the Office of Insurance Regulation. Thank you. We have no additional comment cards. Do we have debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate on the amendment, we'll show amendment barcode 629580, adopted without objection, and we are back on the bill as amended. Do we have questions on the bill as amended? Leader Smith, would you like to say hello? Thank you for joining us. We have no additional questions. Is there debate on the bill? See? Senator Dietert in debate.
No, this is a question. I seem to be off kilter here in the process. A question for the bill sponsor. So overall, Senator Richter, this is allowing, what do we call them, another party, reinsurers is the word I'm looking for, to cover some of the title insurance. And this, it says, this would have the effect of removing some solvency monitoring from the OIR and allowing private entities to determine the financial strength of the companies. Who would that third party be that's going to do the monitoring instead of OIR?
Well, I think I know OIR is here. They can probably respond more to that comment, Senator Dietert. What this bill does is currently title insurance companies that insure titles, the reason the current statutes become antiquated is because of the complexity and the magnitude of some large commercial real estate opportunities here in the state of Florida. Right now there's a limitation of 50% of their surplus. What this does is it extends that limitation, and it gives the insurance company, the title insurance company, if they so choose, if they go over excess of their surplus, they can have that insured by a reinsurer, which is it's similar. We hear typically when we hear about reinsurers, our mindset goes to the property insurance, which is a lot more complicated and risky because of hurricanes and property damage and things like that. This is not the case. This reinsures the title insurance for that surplus, for that amount that's over and above 50% of the surplus, and it's optional, as I understand it. As far as who then, I guess, that reinsurer company, before they decide to take on that level of risk, they would do their analysis of the company that's issuing the title insurance.
Okay, and if I may have a follow-up.
Of course, but I do want to note that our professional staff director would like to make a comment about that question.
Okay.
Yes, Senator, the comment in the analysis about OIR losing some of its authority had to do with a provision in the original bill that was stricken by the amendment that allowed for reinsurance that's rated at a certain level by AM Best and others. That's been stricken, and instead the reinsurance has to comply with current law, and so that comment probably would no longer be apt.
All right.
That's even a better answer.
Yeah, that helps. So my follow-up question then is, since this affects only commercial, do we have a dollar amount that defines what's commercial loan versus not commercial?
Well, I'm not sure that the motivation for the bill is due to the commercial real estate transactions in this market. I mean, that's where the limitations really come into play. It is still title insurance. Could be residential, could be commercial. It's still the title insurance, so a dollar amount doesn't necessarily come into play on this.
Okay. Yeah, I see that now. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. We were in debate. Is there any debate on this bill? President Margolis?
Paid to the people who were entitled to it because it was just too much insurance at one time. And I asked the people with the title companies, you know, why are you doing this? Because, you know, there's a great concern. I mean, I saw something very problematic happen during Hurricane Andrew and after Hurricane Andrew. And they said, well, this is an issue of the people obviously who had purchased title insurance. It was when they bought the property, and it's not the insurance on the property, and that's the difference with this particular issue. But had I not understood it, and I didn't understand it initially, had I not understood it, I would have been extremely concerned with the kind of issue that we're dealing with today.
Thank you. Thank you. Any further debate? See none. President Richter, you're recognized to close.
I waive my close.
Ms. Green will call the roll for committee substitute for Senate Bill 548.
Senator Clemens?
Yes.
Senator Dietert?
Yes.
Senator Huckel? Senator Lee? Senator Margolis?
Yes.
Senator Monford?
Yes.
Senator Negron?
Yes.
Senator Simmons?
Yes.
Senator Smith?
Yes.
Senator Richter?
Yes.
Chair Benquisto?
Yes, and by your vote, show the bill reported favorably. Members will go to tab 4, and I'll pass the chair to Vice Chair Richter as I present an open government sunset review bill.
Okay, members, we're at tab 4, SPB 7032, by banking and insurance related to the open government sunset rule and the Office of Financial Regulation. Senator Benequisto, Chair Benequisto, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, sir. SPB 7032 reenacts the public records exemption for information held by the Office of Financial Regulation pursuant to examinations and investigations that is received from or developed with other federal or state jurisdictions. The exemption applies to information that is received from other state or federal regulatory, administrative, or criminal justice agencies that are otherwise confidential or exempt pursuant to the laws of that state or pursuant to federal law. Additionally, is information that is received or developed by OFR as a result of a joint or multi-agency investigation or examination. This exemption is necessary to enable the OFR to effectively pursue violations of law using information from other jurisdictions and to participate in joint or interagency investigations and examinations. The public records exemption will repeal on October 2nd, 2016, if this bill does not become law. And that is it.
Members, are there any questions for the bill sponsor? Senator Clemens, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just curious, with the investigatory nature of the work that OIR does, at what point does that information become public record following the completion of an investigation?
Chairman Benequisto.
Thank you. I'm going to have staff address that.
You know, I believe it will depend on, in one instance, the law of the other state on part of this exemption. Generally, once an investigation is complete, though, public record laws apply, and so that would generally be the rule that would apply for this this sort of an exemption.
Are there any further questions for the bill sponsor, for the chairman? Seeing no further questions, is there any debate? We have an appearance form. Ms. Jamie Mungayo V. I should know how to pronounce that, shouldn't I? Waves in support. Jamie's with the Florida Office of Financial Regulation. Is there any debate? Seeing no debate, Senator Chairman Benequisto, you're recognized to close.
I'll waive my close.
Having waived her close, with the please call the roll on Senate SPB 7032. Do we want this as a submitted as a committee bill? No?
Yes.
Yes. So we'll show it as a committee bill. Please call the roll on SPB 7032.
Senator Clemens?
Yes.
Senator Dietert?
Yes.
Senator Huckel? Senator Lee? Senator Margolis?
Yes.
Senator Monford?
Yes.
Senator Negron?
Yes.
Senator Simmons?
Yes.
Senator Smith?
Yep.
Senator Richter?
Yes.
Chair Benequisto?
Yes.
By your vote, show the bill favorably reported as a committee bill, and I'll turn the chair back to the chairman.
Thank you. Members, we'll go to our final bill on the agenda, which is tab 2, and that is Senate Bill 592 by Senator Hudson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm John Kodak. I'm presenting on behalf of Senator Hudson today. Senate Bill 592 exempts the personal information of non-sworn investigators employed by the Department of Financial Services from public record. It also exempts their families' information. There are similar protections already in statute for investigators with DOH, DBPR, and DCF. And that is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you for that explanation. This is your first bill that you're presenting before a Senate committee?
Yes, ma'am.
Members, do we have any questions on the bill? Leader Smith?
Have there been any incidents that the reason we're doing this bill?
Mr. Kodak?
Yes, sir, there have. We've had at least two instances of calls to investigators from parties involved with a previous investigation.
Just calls? Where were the calls?
Threatening calls.
Where?
I'm sorry?
Where?
I would have to defer to the department to help me answer that question.
Should we TP this bill until you get that information?
I would ask you not to, but if that is your pleasure, we can consider it if it's the pleasure of the committee.
Dude, bad move.
I moved to temporarily postpone the bill, but there's no other bill on the agenda that you should just say unequivocally no.
Madam Chair, I'd like to retract that and absolutely not temporarily postpone this bill, please.
Thank you. Senator Dietert for a question.
This protects the person and family members. So how many family members do you want to protect? Would this be your first cousin, your stepson, your wife's stepson from her third husband? I mean, define family members.
Ma'am, the intent is to just immediate family, brothers, sisters, children, spouses. You know what? I apologize. I take that back. Spouses and children are covered in this exemption.
And we're not – are we going to define spouse in today's world?
I believe that may be out of the realm of this bill.
Want to do an amendment?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Will you take an amendment?
You have to say yes or no. You just can't – you just have to say no.
I will – yes, we can take an amendment.
This guy. Dude.
The correct answer would have been no.
No.
Senator Clemens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. How many of these investigations have targeted Senator Hudson?
I believe exactly zero, sir.
And may I follow, Madam Chair?
Sir.
And if that's the case, why has Senator Hudson been the one making these phone calls to these investigators?
That would be a great question for Senator Hudson.
So should we TP this bill until Senator
Hudson? No, sir, absolutely not.
Quick study.
Members, do we have additional questions? Well, you've done a great job, John. We do have Ms. Elizabeth Boyd, who would like to speak on behalf of the bill. I thought you might have a question on behalf of CFO Atwater.
Is Brian Pitts available?
Yeah, when you need him.
That would be fine. Do we have debate on the bill? I'm not going to be able to support the bill today. I have a general practice that if you are in that much doubt when you're presenting your own bill, I can't vote for the bill today.
I follow the chair.
Oh, yeah.
It's nerves, I think. It's not as much doubt. I believe in this bill very firmly, but it's the butterflies.
Okay, then you've changed my mind. You're recognized to close on the bill.
Madam Chair, I'd like to waive close.
Thank you. Ms. Green will call the roll for Senate Bill 592.
Senator Clemens?
Yes.
Senator Dietert?
Yes.
Senator Huckel? Senator Lee? Senator Margolis?
Yes.
Senator Monford?
Yes.
Senator Negron?
Yes.
Senator Simmons?
Yes.
Senator Smith?
Yep.
Senator Richter?
Absolutely.
Chair Beniquisto?
Yes. Congratulations, your bill has been reported favorably.
Thank you, members.
You're welcome.
Madam Chair?
Leader Smith.
I like to be shown voting in the positive for Senate Bill 626 by the Honorable Chair of Education Appropriations, a great friend of mine, the great Don Gates.
Go Boys and Girls Club. Thank you for your...
There you go.
Without objection, show that adopted. Any other business before the committee? Seeing none. Senator Richter moves we rise. Adjourn. Adjourn.